Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
White Sox go ahead. They wrapped up a series in Tampa Bay against a very good Tampa Bay team, a very young Tampa Bay team, outside of the issues that they're very anti-gay. At least some of them are anti-gay, and that storyline kind of took up a good chunk of that series. Do you believe in turning points? Do you believe a team can go into a hot AL East ball club and win the series and turn it around a little bit, score some runs, and kind of harness that as the fuel and the motivation to break out of a slump?
Yeah, I think it's going to take a lot more than that for the White Sox to, you know, be a turning point, so to speak. But what I do like about what happened this past series is the confidence that it gives the rest of the guys on the team. And I think that in order for the White Sox to be successful and to even get to a turning point, they need to have more offensive production from, you know, guys 5 through 9 in the lineup. And here's an opportunity. You hear about next man up so often, Shane. And when you're talking about the Tampa Bay Rays, I mean, listen, they heard everybody saying that they were going to suck, and they heard everybody saying that they're not going to win the division and they're a trash team now. They hear that. It's not like they're walking around and they're not getting text messages and reading social media. So to be given an opportunity to go up against the Rays team that they feel like they can't compete with, especially with their last two guys, right? Giolito and CeCe Gillen on the mound. Like, you were wondering, like, is this going to be the Cease that has been dominant, or is this going to be the guy that's going to give up 7 runs in the first 2 innings, or Giolito for that matter? Same thing. You know, are you going to get a dominant performance? So it was good. But as far as turning point is concerned, I'm going to need way more than, you know, a series victory against the Tampa Bay Rays. I'm going to need, like, I don't know, what wouldn't you say, like, a turning point out of 10 games? How many victories do you think you need in order for it to be considered a turning point?
Well, I think it depends the opponents that you're playing and where you're at in your season. Like, it can be some kind of an emotional turning point where you come together a little bit, and like the Sunday's game where they scored 6 runs in the first couple innings, but then couldn't do anything after that. Like, that was fun. That's fun to watch the White Sox score runs. And you're talking about, you need production from your bottom 5 through 9 guys. Usually, yeah, that'd be a good problem to have. You need more production from your bottom 5 to 9 guys. But with this version of the White Sox, outside of Andrew Vaughn and Jake Berger healthy in the lineup right now, excluding Tim Anderson because he's not in the lineup, they need more production from all of them. You need 2021 type production from Yasmani Grandal, who's hitting below 200, slugging below 200, which is nearly impossible. You need 2021 production from AJ Pollock, who hit a bunch of homers last year and is not nearly the player this year as he used to be. You need 2021 production from Yoan Moncada, who doesn't look like anything right now, and maybe there's that long COVID and he's a little bit tired. You need 2021 production from Gavin Sheets, who looks lost at the plate every single time he's up there. So it'd be a good problem to have a lack of production from 5 to 9 only. But right now, outside of Jake Berger and Andrew Vaughn, the White Sox don't have offensive production consistently from anybody. So that's your point. You get legit production from your stars, and that's how you win baseball games. You can't just skate by on Jake Berger having 4 straight game-winning hits, and that's it. You need a lot more than that.
There's a Dominican restaurant in Humboldt Park, right on Dickens and Kimball. And I know Jose Abreu, dude, I couldn't even tell you, but it's Jose Abreu orders from there a lot. He tends to, when he has other Dominican players that come in town, he makes sure that they get food sent from this particular place. And I wonder if that's what it is. Because Shane, I'm literally trying to think of these guys. It's not the money thing, because it's not like they got this new money. They've been having this money. It's not like they're feeling themselves because they still are burnt from losing to the Astros last season. So when I try to think of like, what the hell is going on? It's like, are they not getting mommy's cooking? Are they not getting the chuleta frita? Like, are they not getting the papa de relleno? Like, what is it that's going on with this team and why aren't they producing? They got all these, you know, like I look at Moncada and I say to myself, papi, I know you did the bachata thing. I know you. He's an emotional guy. Shane, you're a lover. And so you could understand. So I like to, in my head, I like to imagine like what is really going on. Like, did he get into a fight with his girl and he's been beefing with her, you know, because Latinos
were. Which one?
Which one? That's my point. That's my point exactly. Like, he's going through girl problems and we're not even looking at it through that lens. We're trying to think like, oh, his front foot is not getting forward fast enough. Like, no. He got caught up by his main chick. But for with his side chick, like, I don't know. Don't you just look at this team? Because what other reason can you come up with when it comes to the lack of productivity from the Chicago White Sox team?
Yeah, I mean, this might be – I like what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But when you're at this level, you can't – those kind of things can't affect you. You can't let your personal – I mean, Michael Kopech just had a second kid with a second woman, and he's still out there dealing after
– He took a whole year off because his girl – damn near cheated on him. Like, what are we talking about? Like, dude. I mean,
but he knew what he needed to do to fix himself mentally and stepped away. Yoan Moncada, Memorial Day weekend, played Sunday, and that was the last time he played in 5 days after that. But that night, Sunday into Monday, he was at freaking Tao until 3 o'clock in the morning with Johnny Cueto. Like, that may sound somewhat meatball-y, where I don't want these guys to have a personal lives or something like that. Of course I want them to have personal lives. But it's not a good look when you're like chilling around in the dugout and you can't play in the baseball game, but you got people spotting you at Tao until 3 o'clock in the morning and then you don't play for the next 5 days. So my frustration with Yoan Moncada has always been, and I know this is stupid, I know it is because I'm not inside the guy's head, but it's always been, it doesn't seem like he enjoys the game as much as other guys do. And that's stupid. I know. It's like white guy yelling at baseball player. I don't want it to come off that way, but it just doesn't seem like he enjoys the game like other guys do. I don't know.
Shane, you bring up a good point, and I think a lot of people don't talk about this too often. Think about the path that most Dominican players or Cuban players take to get to Major League Baseball. It is a grind from a very young age. So it's not, I mean, whereas granted, there's a part of the population that loves baseball, loves the fact that it's getting them out of whatever situation they were in growing up. But you've got to imagine that there's 20-30% of the guys that are like, damn, I'm going to work. Just like a lot of us out there hate going to work every day. I'm sure that some of these baseball players, despite the fact that they're getting paid millions of dollars, they're not necessarily in love with it, right? It's a grind. It's a job. And I think that doesn't get talked about enough. And when you look at a guy like Yoan Moncada, of course, we're not going to sit up here and say he doesn't love Major League Baseball. I'm sure he denied that to the core. However, I'm just saying, is that what it is? Are you burnt out on the game itself? Because he does have that out. Like, when you watch him on, he does not look like Tim Anderson when Tim Anderson hits a home run and he's geeked up running around the bases doing all this stuff and all the little signs that they have when they get on base. Like, Yoan's not that dude. He's pretty cool, calm, collected, and he's a pretty boy. So I'm sure he's, you know, been feeling himself for a very long time. But that's a great point. You would think that, like, somebody like Jose Abreu would be able to get to him. And I wonder if even he's outlasted his welcome. You know, where a coach kind of wears on you after a while. Has Jose Abreu done that to some of the guys in the clubhouse that he's been with for a while?
No, I understand what you're saying, but I would shoot that down immediately. I think these friendships are so strong, and guys like Luis Robert, Yoan Moncada, and soon to be Yolbert Sanchez and Lenin Sosa, these guys of Dominican, Cuban, Puerto Rican descent that are coming from over there to play baseball here, I think a lot of them are coming for Jose Abreu. They're coming for that father figure, hey, help me assimilate into American culture and American baseball culture. I think those guys come here because of him, and I think that's why the White Sox were able to link Luis Robert to such a team-friendly deal and Yoan Moncada to a team-friendly deal solely because of Jose Abreu. We can talk about turning points and specific outings or specific at-bats. until the cows come home. But until there is some consistent production from the players that you need to produce on a consistent basis, this White Sox team just won't go anywhere. The expectations for them have always been so damn high, and it seems like there's some kind of curse on their window, and the window just keeps on. It's like when you're in your old Chicago apartment and you've got to prop your window up with like a cinder block or something like that in the summer for like four or five books that you don't want to read anymore. Like, it feels like I'm constantly adding another book to that window in my first Chicago bedroom apartment, trying to open it a little bit more and extend that window a little bit more, because right now it feels like it's closing. It feels like it's legitimately closing. These guys are not as young as they used to be. They're getting older. Jose Abreu might not be back next year. If he wants to play baseball next year, he will be back. If he doesn't want to, he's not going to – he'll retire a White Sox. The window is closing, and the front office and ownership has not done enough to fortify and to put the best possible free agents in a White Sox uniform that they could have. They go bargain bin hunting. That's Josh Harrison.
Yeah.
That's – you didn't need to spend as much money as you did on Joe Kelly and Kendall Graveman. Like, that money could have gone to the qualifying offer or the club option on Cesar Hernandez, who had a cycle last night. I think that was Cesar. Right, no, it was Eduardo Escobar. Never mind. But Cesar Hernandez still started off the season awesome. And the White Sox just let him go for absolutely nothing and decided to fill that position with Josh Harrison. There are so many frustrations that you can't even talk about a turning point until they put the best possible roster out there that they can.
It's almost like we're unfamiliar with success, and we don't know how to find it consistently. You look at teams like the Twins in the AL Central. You look at a team like the St. Louis Cardinals, mid-market teams that somehow managed to get their money in places where it should be and have competing teams year in and year out, where the White Sox seem like they got to build a winner that they need to jump on. Have you ever lived or hung out with somebody that lived near a train?
California Blue Line.
Oh, okay. So you know what it's like where people come to your house and then they're like, dude, how do you live like that? And you're like, live like what? Like, you don't hear the noise in the background. You know, it becomes bad. I feel like that's how we are as Sox fans. Like, we see this team. We know there's noise, but we don't know how loud it is. And I think a lot of people look at this team and they're like, you guys aren't positioned for success in the future. You all right, baby? You aren't positioned for success in the future. And it sucks because they got a good enough team to be there. Don't you think, Shane? I mean, they have a good enough team to compete.
The talent's there. It's about execution. This is solely about execution. It's about execution. It's about putting your team in the absolute best position to succeed. And that's something, like I said, front office and the current manager, Tony La Russa, doesn't do. If I see Andrew Vaughn, who is, when Tim Anderson's not in the lineup, the best hitter on this team and the best pure hitter total on the team, if I see him in the 6, 7, 8, or 9 hole one more time, I'm going to offload my season tickets to the next lucky bastard that I see walking down the street. Like, hey, you can just have the rest of them.
This is where we disagree, bro. This is where we disagree.
You want Andrew Vaughn at the bottom of the lineup?
Not bottom like 7, 8, 9, but I don't mind him in the 5, 6, 7 space. You know, look, Shane, we play on the same softball team together. When you had me leading off that one game, what did I say? I'm like, dude, I can hit, and I'm going to get a hit every time, but I'm going to end up on first base. I'm not going to hit a triple. I'm not going to double. I'm not going to get a home run. And I feel like that's how Andrew Vaughn is, where you can count on him to get that base knock, but it'd be much better if there were people in scoring positions so that way you can take advantage of it. The worst thing I would like is for me to get on base, and then I'm a duck out there on first, not being able to get in, because we're then depending on guys that are struggling. Because you just said it yourself. 1 through 9, we're struggling outside of Anderson and Andrew Vaughn. But if we could luckily get a 3, 4, 5 guy, 2, 3, 4, 5 guy on, and you have Andrew Vaughn to then take it over after that, I mean, I just need some more runs, and I'm trying to figure out how to get them, you know?
In a normal situation where all the other White Sox stars were producing, then yes, I'm with you. Andrew Vaughn's probably suited best in the 5 or 6 hole because guys will get on base in front of him. In a situation where literally nobody is getting on base and Andrew Vaughn is one of the only ones, then I want him getting as many at-bats as humanly possible. So, hell, I'd have Andrew Vaughn lead off if nobody else is getting on base and he's the one getting on base. I'd have Jake Berger lead off. Like Yasmani Grandal led off the other day. Like they're having to piece together things while Tim Anderson is out. And the Yasmani Grandal thing, like whatever Tony feels he's got to do, maybe he feels like he has to put him in a higher up position to up his ego or confidence or something, because outside of the little half swing two RBI single that he had in Tampa Bay, like the guy has shown absolutely nothing. So in a normal situation, yes, I agree with you. Andrew Vaughn's likely your best five or six hitter, maybe even a four hitter. But in this situation where nobody else is hitting and nobody's getting on, I want him high up as possible to get
the right, okay, let's pretend everybody's healthy, Shane. Let's pretend everybody's healthy.
And I have a lineup for
you. Oh, I love this. Damn it, I love this. All right, go ahead.
So Tony La Russa, we're what, 52 games in or 51 games in? He's had a different lineup for every single game. Assuming everyone is healthy,
like
this is your optimized Chicago White Sox lineup with one removal. Reese McGuire is no longer on the team because I can't stand him.
You hate him, right?
Dude, I can't stand that guy. Tim Anderson leading off. Andrew Vaughn in the two hole. Luis Robert in the three hole. Jose Abreu in the four hole. Yoan Moncada playing second base in the five hole.
Okay.
Yasmani Grandal in the
six.
In the six hole, DHing. AJ Pollock in the seven hole. And then either Lenin Sosa or Yolbert Sanchez playing second base.
Where's Eloy Jimenez at, bro? Come on. We got to get him in that lineup.
Oh, shit.
I'm waiting. I'm like, you got Yoan at the five. Why not Eloy? I'm like, okay.
I'm brainwashed right now. I'm brainwashed by the White Sox injury bug. And I forgot that Eloy even existed for a second.
He's about to do his triple A assignment, so he'll be back soon. You got to throw Eloy at five in there. I like the lineup. I love the lineup so far.
That's the problem, because you look at somebody like Jake Berger, who's absolutely smashing the ball. There's really no room for him except for maybe at DH when Eloy comes back. There's no room there.
Right.
Because Pollock's going to be in the lineup. Grandal has to be in the lineup.
Unless he keeps sucking, then you got to have him be a pinch hitter off the switch hitting pinch hitter.
I don't know, man. So Anderson, Vaughn, and Wright. I'd have to play Vaughn over AJ Pollock right now.
Yeah.
Luis Robert in center. Abreu, first base in the four hole. Eloy, left field in the five hole. Moncada at third base. Grandal catching. And then Lenin Sosa, Yolbert Sanchez, or Jake Berger at second base. And then your DH is – Berger when he's not playing second base, that kind of thing. You know,
it's tough. It's a good problem to have if everyone's healthy and playing well.
And that doesn't happen nearly often enough.
Ever.
And this lineup misses the best table setter in all of baseball in Tim Anderson. One of the best leadoff hitters in baseball. One of the best contact guys in baseball. One of the best defensive shortstops in baseball in Tim Anderson. And that's what they're missing right now. You can't have a carousel at the top of the lineup. You just can't, especially in a team where nobody gets on base at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, Danny Mendick's been trying his best. I mean, obviously, but no one's going to fill the shoes of Tim Anderson. I think we should spend a moment or two just to have some Tim Anderson love. I was talking to Anthony Herron the other day, and I was like, he had the quietest batting title you've ever seen in Major League Baseball. Like, he won it and no one cared. And it was like, dude, this guy just came out of nowhere and it was like, you know what, I'm going to focus on base hits, doubles, and smacking the ball with just raw power occasionally. And then won the batting title and no one gave him love. It was like, people just thought it was this anomaly, like this outlier that happens. Like, no. And then he came back. I mean, he's hitting 356 right now. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, people are struggling to hit 300 all across Major League Baseball, let alone the Chicago White Sox.
225 across Major League Baseball,
right? And you got this guy just like stroking 356, making it look easy. And then
you got guys like Hunter Green in Cincinnati who are throwing sliders that break 48 inches or whatever the hell that guy's slider breaks.
Disgusting.
Nobody can make contact right now. None of the White Sox players, and Tim Anderson's not there. The only one who can.
Yeah, and I think he doesn't get enough love of what he does. But, I mean, and even what he did against the Yankees in the last matchup that they had, you know, after all that drama, you know how hard it is to hit a home run in the majors? And for him to do it the very next game, like, you know how much that's mind-blowing. You got to – like, that is some Floyd Mayweather type stuff where I'm going to talk trash and back it up in the form of a home run. Like, you only have – 20-something of them throughout the entire year. And for you to smack one in order to do that is just absolutely incredible. But
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was just saying. So Tim Anderson, I think he it's hard to say he's underrated, but he's still underrated. I think that's the takeaway right there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.